Oh, what a week. Busy week. This morning I got up and I was started rushing around and rushing around, and I was leaving some things go and leaving clothes lay here and this done and that done, you know. And I just said, wait a minute, I've got to slow down, take a breath, be a little bit late, and do the things I need to do. And I think sometimes we need to do that. We need to slow down, say, okay, Lord, let's start this down right. Let's do the things we need to do. So let's just pray that it goes well today. My brain's been in hyper mode, and let's just pray that it slows down a little. Not too much, a little bit. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about what? The five secrets to a successful life. At least five of them that we're going to talk about. At least these five, there's more. The first week we talked about God's grace and providence. Nothing happens first without God's grace. Our Lord and Savior died on the cross for us. He saved us from our sin. And without that, we might as well not even start down the road to success, because that's first things first, is accept Him and realize that He has a divine plan for each and every one of our lives that is so separate and distinct. You know, I think that we forget that sometimes, that we're different and we're meant to be different. We're not meant to be cookie cutter people. God made us different with different desires, different wants, different life. And I believe too, there's been a lot of, everyone like talks about what it's going to be like in heaven. You know, if God took the care to create you the way He desired you to be, I do believe that a lot of that, your likes and things, will be transferred into heaven in some form. I don't think that you're going to be this just completely different person that's not you anymore. God loves you and He made you. I think some of the desires that you have in your life that are good desires and things you like to do, I think He's going to find a way to use them. I don't think heaven's going to be a place where we're just going to sit around on a cloud and pop grapes in our mouth and listen to harps. You know, I think God's going to keep us busy. He desires for us to be active. Matter of fact, if we look through Scripture, one of the things that God desires most from us is work. In all forms, but it's work, it's to be busy. And then, of course, last week, we talked about the willingness to learn spiritually and academically. We have to be willing to grow in the Lord, to follow His Word, to study. You know, it can seem so huge and like it's too much to handle when we look at the Bible as a whole, right? And sometimes we need to come back and say, let's just start this step by step by step and learn. Isn't that how we learn? We learn in baby steps. We learn first things first, and then we learn a little more. You know, if you want to understand Genesis, you know what I would suggest? You read Genesis. Study it. Thank you, Jan. But you do. We live in a time today where we have so many things at our disposal. Oh, my word. I mean, you can sit down on your phone and you've got instant commentary on your phone. We used to have to go get the big books out and open them up. I still do. I like doing that. But, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, you have a list of them on your phone. You can look up verses and things and compare. You know, get excited about what you're learning. Don't believe what everyone tells you out there in the world. Say, you know what? God says this. Let's find out why. We were talking the other day about science. And Frank made the comment. He said, you know, the Bible was the original science. And I believe science. I truly do. As long as it lines up with Scripture. Because science is truth. And I find it interesting today that so many things we're told to believe that science says, 6 months later, science says something different. Well, you know, one thing I know about the Word of God, it never changes. And I know when they apply science to the Word of God, they always come to find out that it proves itself. Isn't that interesting? It's not interesting to me. because I know my God, and I think you do. God doesn't change. Everything in this world changes, but God doesn't change. But we need to know, what is he planning for my life? What's truth? What isn't? Stay in the Word of God. Compare what you hear and what you know to what the Bible says. Well, Pastor, I don't know what the Bible says. Like I said, once again, study it. You know, we have some really great discussions in Sunday school on Sunday morning about all kinds of things. And they do. They relate with the old, and they come all the way to our present day. We discuss certain situations and how they apply. Those things are important. You know, when we have ladies' breakfast, the studies that are done, the little devotions that are done, they always go further than probably is originally intended. Same thing with the men when they get together and they study. Or on Wednesday evening Bible studies, whether they're here with the ladies, whether they're at Lauren's house with the ladies she meets with, or in our group, or at Sauter's house, there's Bible study going on that you can plug into. And of course, what we do on Sunday evening, there's ample opportunity to learn if we want to. And I know that it's difficult with all the things we have out there to do, but I think sometimes we just have to look and decide what we're going to do. And I think God will honor what we say when we say, Lord, I desire to know more. What's the Bible say? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he will what?
Give to you liberally.
Give to you liberally. That's pretty simple. So if you ask and he's willing to give it to you, then I would suggest that we study it. No. So education is very important. And if you're going to be successful also, you need to be academically plugged in to whatever you're doing, wherever, whatever field the Lord leads and guides you in. Like I said last week, I don't want someone operating on me that's never been to school. And I certainly don't want, you know, we study in the fields that we're in, right? So those are those 2 weeks. And here we are now. This is a big one, but it's a simple one. It's putting others first. Well, Pastor, how's that going to make me successful? How can I be successful if I don't put me first and build up what I need and do what I want and keep my goals in mind, because God says to put others first? Simple as that. I'm going to read James this morning. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. You can read the whole book. It's real short. But I'm going to bounce around a little bit. And I'm in James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We are to do what the word of God says. Think about something. When God says to do something, and we do it, it becomes a part of what we do and who we are. If we just read it and hear it and don't do it, it's like that man that looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he saw. You walk away from the word, you forget what it said. You know, Sunday morning messages are great. And I don't care who's giving them, if they're teaching the word. Sunday morning messages are great. But if they're just great at the moment when we hear them, and we don't take them and apply them, what good did they do us, right? It's that application process that we need to do. That is why many times when we talk about the Word of God is meant to convict. It is meant to challenge you about things. I know that when I'm giving a message, it challenges me. When I used to be the person in the pew and there was a pastor teaching, I would love a message that pointed something out, that this little light would go off in my head and go, aha, I need to change that. Or this is why that, and this is why, you know, I needed that. We are not meant to sit in a congregation and say, you know what, it all sounds good, but I'm still just going to do what I want to do. Well, okay, but it won't work. It's not going to keep you on a road to success in any form in life. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart, and his religion is useless. pure and defiled religion before God and the Father is this. Now, this is real simple. Pure and undefiled religion. In other words, this is what you're supposed to do. Visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, we want to look at that literally and say, okay, if I'm the best religious person in the world, all I got to do is go visit some widows and some orphans, yeah, and not get stained by the bad things in the world, and I'm good to go. That visiting widows and orphans, that is the principle of a larger picture. It is the heart of visiting widows and orphans. Why would you visit a widow and an orphan? Well, I would say that you would visit the widow, A, because she's lonely and needs something. B, at least when this was written, she had nothing. She needed taken care of. She didn't have the man of the house to keep the water out, to keep the walls up. She didn't have anyone to protect her from robbery. She usually had no income. How was she going to eat? She was a widow. And until someone came along and would then marry her and do those things she needed, she was left destitute. So I think what we need to look at this passage is we need to visit the destitute. We need to visit those that need, those that don't have, right? And keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's a tough one too. How in the world is keeping me unspotted, me staying unspotted from the world, how in the world is that putting others first? Oh, that's huge. That's really huge. Because if I'm spotted by the world, if I'm stained by the world, if the world is guiding my life, if the world is tearing me down, you know what I'm doing? My children, those around me, and those that I love are not hearing and seeing the truth and seeing a godly life that they can walk in and they can know the Lord too. Wow. You see, if we're going to put others first, we have to remember who we are to them. Oh, come on, Pastor. I know this seems a little bit not fair to these people, but it'll help us get ahead. Oh. Bad example. Can't do it. Well, you know, it's okay to lie once in a while. Nope. The only time it's okay to lie is one time. Honestly. Karen says they're shaking her head thinking, what's coming next? The only time it's okay to lie is when you're going to get in trouble with your wife and you got to twist it a little. Is that right?
No.
No. I know that's the kind of man or the greatest tempted the greatest to lie. No, I wasn't there. No, I didn't do that. Did you make the bed? Yep. Pick your socks up? Yep. No, we need to stay unspotted from the world because the world's looking at us. And those, that's the, one of the greatest forms of putting others first is protecting who you are. Isn't that cool? Not that difficult. I'm going to go down to verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor woman. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you're called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. I find it interesting. You know, back then, what he's talking about here, it was the rich that oppressed them and dragged them into courts for all kinds of reasons to better themselves and get what they wanted. There was great fear of the rich, but I want to tell you something today. We still should have healthy fear of the rich, and what I mean by that is, it's the rich of the world that are destroying our world today in many cases. There's nothing wrong with having money, and I'll never say there is, because God does give us that blessing many times. And, you know, it's good to work hard and have things and use it in the right way. But it is the rich and the powerful today that are doing things for the wrong way, and that are blaspheming God each and every day, and are laughing at us, and yet we still desire, in many cases, to impress them. And please tell me why. We try to impress them by wearing what they tell us to wear, by listening to what they tell us to listen to, by going where they tell us to do, by having the attitude, by looking like them. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to look like them. You know, God called us to be a peculiar people. I hope someone calls me peculiar for the right reasons. But we are. We're to be different. I get a kick out of kids sometimes. And we've all seen these trends in school growing up. The one that blew me away the most was probably when my kids were in school and there was a goth trend that was real, real big. Everybody was wearing black and black eyeliner and just looking black. But I never got it. And I say to one of the kids, I say, why in the world are you dressed like that? Because I'm an individual. This is me. You know, you're not an individual. You look like every other fruitcake that's dressed like that out there. How individual is that? Individual is being you. Right? Individual is being that Christian that stands out and says, you know what? I'm not going down that road because it's wrong. I'm going to respect my girlfriend because that's what God tells me to do. I'm going to listen to what my God says about sexuality, not what the world says about sexuality. And you know what? I'm going to believe the science. What? Yeah, I'm going to believe the science. God made two genders, male and female, by the way.
Amen.
That's the science. Why are we always told to believe the science today when the science lies and we know it's lying? Let's believe the science. Quit being foolish, right? How do I get off on that? Love your neighbor as yourself and you'll do well. You know? What do you desire for yourself? Can you love your neighbor that much? Folks, I'm not talking about handouts here. I'm not talking about giving people things just to appease them and make yourself feel good. I'm saying, do we have the desire in our heart to see our neighbor do well? To see our neighbor know Jesus? To see our neighbor see Jesus through us so that they have a chance of redemption because they've seen it? See what I mean? Let's go on. I'm going to jump down to verse 13 of chapter 2. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Man, did I grope in a lot of that. I seem to grope in an era in our church when everybody had this faith, I'm right, I know it's right, and they're real stoic about this, you know. Well, what are you doing for your neighbor? Oh, what? Oh, I'm doing everything I should in my four walls. What about your neighbor? I remember I went to a church one time, a church I've been in most of my life. And I stopped to see the pastor over a matter. It was much years later. Matter of fact, I was already in ministry. And I was back there, and when I went to church there, there were no, nothing, it was out in the middle of the fields. I remember the day they did the groundbreaking, and we walked down this mowed path to the middle of this field, and there was literally nothing anywhere, and they broke the ground to build that church. But and the church had grown over the years and done a lot of different things, but they had gone through a shrinking process, even had to close down their school, which they had built, which was an amazing ministry at the time. But anyway, I was back there, and I'm looking around, and I am surrounded by houses. I mean, surrounded as far as you can see. And I said to him, so this is really cool. I said, what an opportunity. I said, are you guys, how are you reaching these communities around here? Well, we really haven't to this point. I thought, say what? God lays an opportunity right in your doorstep and you can't love your neighbors yourself? Well, we did let them use our soccer field. Okay. And then we wonder why we're empty. See, it's loving others and putting others before ourselves that makes us not empty. It's loving our community and those around us. It's not being judgmental. Let the Word of God convict them. I am going to preach the Word of God. And if it convicts you, fine. It should. That's what it does. But I'm not going to go out there in the street and start going, sinner, 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 sinner. That's not what I'm going to do. Teach the Word of God and let the Word of God convict their heart. So, what is a prophet, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Does faith save us? Yes. Mm-hmm. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and be filled. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, go on your way. I hope things go better for you. I hope that your belly's full and everything's warm. Sounds good, right? But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does a prophet? What is a prophet to send someone away with a kind word when you're not willing to stop and take the time and reach in and try to figure a few things out? Say, Lord, if I can serve this person in any way, if I can help them and see your love through me, for them to see that, show me that so I can do it. Maybe there's something very simple that you can help with. Maybe they need a job and haven't been able to find the right one, but maybe you know someone places that's hiring. Maybe they're just, you know, there's a lot of people out here. I know that Matt, Trent, Brandon, Ed, a lot of people are going to laugh. But there's some people that wouldn't know how to replace the air breather in their car. They're out there in droves. I see them. Maybe that's preventing them from going to work, some simple little thing. Well, everything, oh, I'm not going to go, I don't know what I'm going to do, I can't go to work, I my car won't work, what's wrong with it? I don't know, it just didn't start this morning, and I don't have any money to take it anywhere. And it's something very simple. Let me look at that for you. It's my first week of a new job, and I really don't have any gas money. I know that we can be scammed. But not everything out there is a scam. I know in this world it's hard to not become jaded in a lot of cases because there, trust me, we've had some scams pulled on us here. I've gotten pretty good at reading some of these people and I usually can catch it before it goes too far. But sometimes I'm still through. The truth is that doesn't stop us from loving people and doing what we can to help them. So what good is it for that person to say, yeah, go and I hope your life goes well, buddy. See ya. We say, I wonder what's going on with that person. I wonder if there's something. Lord, lay it on my heart. Maybe what I need to do. Maybe I need to invite this person over. Maybe you take them to get something to eat or do something. Maybe this. You know, I want to tell you something. This is an honest truth. An honest, honest truth. If your heart is willing, God will put that situation in front of you and he'll lay it on your heart what you need to do. But you have to have a willing heart. You do. Sometimes it's something you can do that people don't even need to know that you're the one that did it. Can you imagine that? People don't even know you did it. I love it. This happens here a lot. Someone will come up to me and someone will know there's a basic need in the church somewhere. Someone will come up to church and say, hey, Pastor, make sure this gets that direction, but don't let them know where it came from. And that's the end of it. And that person is blessed. And they know that people cared about them enough to do it. Well, Pastor, no one's done anything like this for me before. Well, I guess you've been in the wrong place. putting others before ourselves. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You know, any people I've talked to that have told me, oh, I have faith. I'm good to go. Okay. That's nice. I don't have any fruit I produce. I won't say it like that. Today it's kind of Bible talk, isn't it? You're not going to say I'm not producing fruit, but you know what I mean. Faith without works, it's dead. Our faith needs to have works. And in so many ways, it's never just about money. I don't want to ever beat you guys up for money. We're so stretched for it today in so many directions. I will tell you that God, God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? He does. But it's things that we reach out and do that sometimes are hard to do and even can be detrimental. I'm not going to go any further in the study this morning in Scripture. I think you kind of got the gist of putting others first before yourself. But it goes a long way. I want to share with you a couple things the Lord has laid on my heart I pray that as the Lord lays these things on my heart, I'm not saying God told me anything. I'm saying that through ministry, through his word, some things have been laid on my heart. And I think that, you know, you can look at what God desires and know that it's something that correlates with Scripture, and God's probably involved in you desiring to do that. And one of the things that was laid on someone else's heart that they came to me with, I want to share with you, which is putting others first. Tim Steele approached me, I don't know, it's been at least 6 months ago, maybe longer, and had talked about doing a post-divorce support group for people. Open to anyone that needs it, not just in our church, but doing that. And Susie and he, I think, you guys were married at the time, but barely, or maybe even talked about it before, I don't remember. But anyway, you know, maybe kick this off sometime, maybe in June or something. I know that Susie's going to have some time off. She said maybe she could start doing some groundwork for it and getting some information together. What a wonderful thing to do. You know, putting others first, saying, you know what, I've been through this. I know the pain. I know the importance of God in my life in this relationship when this happens. Let me sit down and share with other people that are struggling. What a wonderful thing to do. That's called putting others first. And I thank you guys for doing that. I'm going to pray that that works well and that it goes well. And as it comes together, the Lord will greatly use that. But a couple other things in my mind, and I shared this several months ago, was that I've had a huge burden. For the New Bloomington area and the Hispanic community, particularly in that area. And it is an area where there's not a great amount of wealth. There's some struggles. And I've really desired to see something start there, even very small, and let the word of God spread and let people know the Lord and maybe find a place to meet and do something there. And I know that at the time, we had someone visiting the church that Sunday that is very involved in that community, not there, but in at least in the Hispanic community. And they told me later, if that ever gets kicked off, let me know, I'd love to help. I thought that was cool because I brought it up that morning and there they were. But then the other day, I was doing the radio thing and we were talking about the importance of the local church and how it's important that we build and grow these communities that are dying. And you know, when we vacate the community to go to these large venues, the churches in the local areas, they shrivel up and die. There's no one to support them. And then all those people, some people do not have the means to get up and go to those venues. They can't get there. They don't have much. Some people, quite frankly, wouldn't be comfortable there, and they just wouldn't be. So the point is that who serves those people if the local church dies, right? So we're glad and excited to serve our community and all that we do here. But there are those communities out there. And I had said on the radio that, you know, there's a particular community in my mind that I had a burden for. Well, there's a guy listening to the radio, and he hears it, and he drives straight to the radio station to catch me before I left. And he says, Pastor, he said, and someone that Frank knows, and I somewhat know the guy. Great, wonderful man. He loves the Lord. He's been involved in ministry most of his life and doing different things. Older guy. He said, Pastor, he said, I've got two or three people that I know that want to come together and start a work. Where's that town you're talking about? And I told him. He said, really? That, wow. He goes, can we get together? He said, I'm going to drive around the town and look for a possible place that I could find that maybe they could meet. And can you work? Can we get this together? That would be great. You see, that's how God works. It's not a Pastor Steve thing that he puts his name on. It's God working and finding people to serve where he needs them to be. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for that. And I brought up another one this morning that we don't have anyone to facilitate yet. The Lord's laid on my heart some time back. And it's called a second time around support group. What in the world is second time around? Second time around are those people that are raising their grandchildren. It's those people that may not be raising their grandchildren, but they are the stability in their grandchildren's life. They're the ones that would bring them to church. They're the ones that would be there when they're needed. They have them a lot of the time. Maybe they don't have custody of them, but they have them. But there are so many people today raising grandchildren. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a lonely walk. It can be a very rewarding walk, and it can be a scary and a lonely walk. Hey, look, I know what it was like raising kids of my own. You kids are about killing me. I can't imagine raising grandkids, you know? But there's so many out there. Don't you think they need to be able to come together and share what they go through, the difficulties, how things work with this family and how that works, and how the Lord is going to walk them through that and encourage one another and build up one another. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So I'll put that out there as something you guys can pray about. I'm not doing it. I'm not. And it doesn't necessarily need someone to lead it. It needs someone to facilitate it. Because if they come together, it would be a group forum thing type thing. But wouldn't that be wonderful? Hey, look, if we can pray about one thing and it happening and another thing and the Lord making it happen, let's pray for something else. But see, that's what we do to put others first. When we put others first, it takes the focus off me. And God honors it so well. What's really neat about that is, you know, and I've watched this throughout my life with people. I'm a people watcher. So if you're a people out there, I bet pastors watched you. But here's the thing. When you put others first and you have that heart and that spirit of, I want to put others before me, God has this interesting way of coming back and giving you the things you would have wanted anyway. God lifts you up. So when you put yourself first, you always end up empty. When you put others first, God rewards that and comes back and makes you full. How cool is that? And I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, I've observed it and I've watched it. The most giving people I know in the world, and I'm guys, you know that when I'm talking about giving, there's all forms of giving. Not just cash, not just your time. There's all forms of giving. Let God lay it on your heart. But giving people are the most full and satisfied people I've ever met in my life. They're okay with life. Life is good. Because this is one of God's laws. He says it. Pure and undefiled religion is seeking out and taking care of the widows and orphans and becoming unspotted from the world. Putting those before you that have those needs, reaching out to them, and not letting the world stain you to the point that you're a horrible example to your family and everyone else around you. If you want to put them first, you've got to fix you. And the only way to fix you is through him. It's a pretty simple process. So I lay all that out there to tell you guys this. It's on you. I just gave it to you. It's on you now. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm certainly not going to babysit you to make sure you do it. I'm certainly not going to judge you if you're not doing it. I'm just saying that the opportunity's been presented to you in all 3 weeks of these things. Are you going to take advantage of them and have a successful life? Pastor, I'm old. How am I going to have a successful life? I don't care how old you are. It's how we finish. It's not how we start. Now, life would be much greater if you young people start at your age and start doing these things and enjoy that life as you grow. Some of us already really messed up for a lot of years, and we can't get those back. But we can end well. And God will bless that and bless you. I've seen people that some of the greatest blessings in their life have come towards the end of their life. I've seen people that have prayed and prayed for a child or someone in their family, and God answers that in a wonderful way. I truly believe that a lot of that is because they've continued in prayer, they've continued in faith, and they've said they put others before themselves. God will bless that life of that person that does that. You know what next week is? Secrets, there's two left. The last one's honesty. Next week is the next to last one. You got to be ready for this one, guys. Consistent, hard work. Shouldn't a Christian life be easy? No. Consistent, hard work. Not in your Christian life, but in your daily life and in what you do. God honors consistency. Consistency builds a lot of things. It builds character, and it builds wealth too. It builds a lot of things. So next week is consistent, hard work. If you already think you know everything about consistent hard work, you don't have to come next week. But I promise you, if you do come, you'll hear some things that maybe you didn't know or think. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for your love, for all you give us, for strengthening us. Lord, I ask that we be a people that desires to put others before ourselves and always put you before anything and everything. I thank you for this day, Lord, in your name. Stephen, take that you do offer this morning, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank for our tithes and offering, all that you so graciously give us, Lord. You bless the church with so much, and you continually bless us as we serve it and try to be good stewards of what you give us. Let us never be greedy, but be wise in you in all things. In your name, amen.
If you're able to stand, you're going to close
our
hymnal, page 648, Love Divine, All Love Excelling, and we're going to do verses 1, 2, and 4, page 648.
Oh,
tonight we have the answers in Revelation at 6:30. Come enjoy yourself. We'll have a great time this week. Remember, Team Kid, it's the last one. If you don't have kids, if you're not coming, please pray for it. Pray for it anyway. And pray for those kids as summer goes on. Pray for all the programs that are planned. Do we have youth group tonight?
No, next week.
Okay, next week will be youth group. This Tuesday night will be pizza with Pastor, though.
What?
This Tuesday night will also be pizza with Pastor.
No, the following Tuesday. First Tuesday. This is the last Tuesday.
Oh,
yeah. What happens in March?
Next Tuesday will be pizza with Pastor.
I'm just really gunning for March, aren't I? Or April.
April.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm...
Out of it.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Those of you that know me know this is very normal.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how many years you know me, Dad.
A long time.